Right. One thing I've noticed when I'm on to upload the recordings is usually when Jeannie preaches, we tend to forget to record, and when I preach, it sounds like I'm underwater. So the only ones I'm uploading are Chris, Admin, and Catherine. So praise for the recording, because we're having troubles a little bit. We have been going through a study with Pastor Catherine on Tuesdays, every other Tuesday. And one of several studies, and they're all so good, but one of the studies that we were going through is called The Lord's Work. And I know that Pastor Admin has preached from it, and I think Pastor Chris has preached from it. And I wasn't here when Pastor Jeannie preached, so I'm not sure. But as I was going through the study, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's just look at it real quick. When everybody's there, say amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Good morning to everybody on the phone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So, all of the lines, there's like four or five points. Therefore is one. My beloved brethren is two. Be steadfast and immovable. Three, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Four, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Five. But the one that just kept speaking to my heart was always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that's what I want to talk about. What is the work that God has called us to do? So when you think about the work of the Lord, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What is the work of the Lord in your life? And I'm just going to be really step out and what's to my mind, what has always come to my mind. But Jeffrey, do you mind when this scripture says always abounding in the work of the Lord? What is the work of the Lord that you think of?
Chaotic, not very present and all that. Mm-hmm. Having that peace.
Amen. Who do I want to ask over there? Anybody want to volunteer?
Because I feel how he continually is doing work in me and through me that to reach out to others.
Amen. You guys are good. Because, see, that has never been the first thing I thought of. When I thought about the works of the Lord, I thought about what God had you do, what you're calling, what a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist. That was always my thought. That is the work of the Lord. I am going to abound in the work of the Lord. I'm going to go out there and gung-ho and do this thing for God. The work of the Lord simply means, well, I'll read this. The word is to always be engaged in doing the will of our beloved Lord God. Simply put, it means our work is to do the will of God, to live according to His word, to the Bible, daily. Period. And that work may include what He has called you to do as being a pastor or whatever. But you cannot, if you are in a role of a pastor, but you are not abiding in His word and His word abiding in you, you are just doing a job. You are not living for Christ. I love that song, to live. You know that, what was it? To live for Christ? Is Christ? Yeah, that's it. Amen. It's it. For me to live is Christ. It's Christ. The work that He has called us to do is to obey His word. Live His word. Jesus didn't come just to redeem us. He didn't come just to pay the price for our sins. But He also came to be a living example of how to walk sinless in a perverted world. But we cannot do that in and of ourselves. We cannot do it. We cannot walk according to His word without Him, because the word was Christ. The word is Christ. John 4:34 says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." He was our example. He did not what He wanted to do. And believe me, there was a time when what was about to happen to Him was not necessarily what He wanted to experience. But His answer still was, "Nevertheless, Your will be done. Your will be done." So we are to be engaged in doing the will of our Lord in every single thing we do. Let's go look at Colossians 3:17. See, I don't know about some of you, but I've struggled most of my life, and even in a lot of my walk, with telling God, not specifically saying it, but my actions said it. I got this, God. I got this. You know, don't worry about it. I got this. But that is outside of the word of God. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So when it says, when I say in every single thing you do, you have to acknowledge God. Otherwise, you have stepped outside of what God wants for you. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father. Everything. Everything. There is not one thing that is too big or one thing that is too small. Amen. Amen. Okay, so in every, so if we are to engage in doing the will of God in every single thing we do, that means our daily walk, right? How we walk daily. Let's go look at Philippians 2, 12 and 13. And when you guys get there, you can say amen or hey, hey, or woo-hoo, or yee-haw. Amen. Okay. Philippians 2, 12 through 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is God who is at work in us, working his work through us. When we work out our, when we walk in our own works, that's not God working in us. That's us working in us. That's the world working in us. That's our flesh working in us. Work out. I love how the NLT says it. Dear friend, you always followed my instructions. This is Apostle Paul. Dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I love that. He is giving us the power and the desire to do what pleases him, his work, obeying his word. So, and I love Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Which means what? He doesn't need us to help him. He's doing it. We just have to surrender and obey. Rest in the Lord. Amen. Take up your, okay, so the next thing. We are to, so what does that mean? We are to take up our cross daily. Right? He says that, you know, when we walk within our own works, how many of you would voluntarily take up a cross and carry it? Because cross means suffering. Cross means death of something. We wouldn't do it in and of ourselves and in and of our flesh, but Christ, Jesus Christ said, take up your cross daily. Luke, let's look at Luke chapter 9. 23 and 24. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. If we are going to walk with Christ and do the works that he has prepared for us before the foundation of this world, then we have to take up our cross, die to ourselves, die to our wants, die to our control, die to what we want to do, and live for Christ. Live for Christ. How do you know what God wants for us? How do you know what God wants to do in your life? You got to be in this. You got to be in this. Because your brain, your mind, and the voice of the enemy will tell you all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the Word of God. Mm. And it will sound good, and it will have just enough truth to get you going, but it will bring you in the wrong direction. We have to be in the Word of God to know what His will is for our lives. I'm going to tell you the big picture, kind of showed me, the big picture of what the commandments say. Let's look at Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Then, Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, if I just do what he saying, when he says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul. Love your neighbor and love your neighbor as yourself would probably be based on my concept of what it is to love myself. But that's not necessarily what God is saying. So let's then look at Exodus. Oh, I didn't write down the scripture. The Ten Commandments. I think it's Exodus. No. Yeah, okay, thank you. That was, it's like, it's a zero, it's a something zero, chapter 20. So, Exodus chapter 20. I'll start at verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before you. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female or servant, female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So just in those 11 verses, we have a spell out of what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You are to have no other gods before him, not make any idols. You shall not take his name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day. So that is a breakdown of loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? It means to honor your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So that's a breakdown of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. But then, what it means when he says, you shall not commit adultery. Let's go look at Matthew chapter 5. Amen. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So that's an even further breakdown of what it means. So we have to be in his word to know what he is saying to us and what he is expecting of us in order to live according to his word. And it goes even further than that, because sometimes as we walk and we commit these things and we don't remember what God is saying, the Holy Spirit steps in. The Holy Spirit steps in. Let's go to let's go to John chapter 14. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 16. You know what? Go down to verse 26 first. John chapter 14, verse 26. Amen. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. See, you could find yourself out walking, and you look at somebody, and you don't even realize your thoughts have gone there, and the Holy Spirit will say, hey, don't even look. Don't even look. Because adultery is not the act, it's the look. You've already committed the act if you look with that in your heart. So the Holy Spirit steps in and reminds us of things. Now, I will give a segue to that, if you have ears to hear. Because sometimes we don't want to hear it. Amen? Those are the times when we want to do what we want to do. But if we are living for God daily, taking up our cross daily, obeying his word daily, about Holy Spirit, and God willing, I'll get this sent out too. But let's go look at Isaiah 30. Verse 19, I need to go there. Isaiah 30. And I do want to ask this question because it's as simple as that. Sure, you want to go and be a missionary. And if that's what he wants for you, he will send you. But sometimes we work hard at doing what we want to do for God, and it's not anything like what he wanted for us. I can remember when the Lord told, well, Pastor Hammond said the same thing as my husband. When God first said that he was calling them as a pastor, they were like, huh, that wasn't what they had in mind for themselves. Loved God, wanted to serve. Now they were the at all. Is it something we can do in and of ourselves? Never. Never. I remember when Chris and my brother were learning to play the shofar. And Chris could play Trey's shofar easily. But then God brought in another shofar and said, give that one to Trey. I can't remember how it worked out. But anyways, they have had two different shofars, and Chris struggled with playing his because he needed God. He needed God to play that shofar through him. What God calls us to is not usually what we have planned for ourselves, because we plan the easy route. But God is good. Okay, what did I say? Isaiah 30, 19. Yeah. Okay. So, let me go back to 20. It was 20. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the left or to the right. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He will tell you. It's a still small voice, but he will tell you, this is what I want you to do. This is how you are to walk. Don't say that. You're getting ready to say. Do you get what I'm saying? He will tell you. He will lead you into the Word of God to walk it out if we listen. If we listen. Okay. Our daily walk through the power of the Holy Spirit is one that brings glory and thanksgiving to our precious Lord Jesus Christ. See, our walk through the power of the Holy Spirit is one that brings glory and thanksgiving to our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, all the time, when we walk in our own strength and in our own power, and we do some great things, where does the glory go? Usually to ourselves. But God deserves the glory. He has things in our lives. As Pastor Emin was talking this morning about talking to the young people about sharing their faith, and God has been speaking to me even about that, is yes, we need to share our faith, but let people see it before you open your mouth. Let them see God in your life before you ever have to say a word. And that only happens when you live for Christ, when you live out the Word of God. And people wonder, what was it that Paul and Silas when they were in prison, and the guard singing, and the shackles and the fell off, and the bars opened, and the jailer ran in and thought everybody had escaped and was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "We're here, we're here." And he said, he looked at that and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't have to go through a sermon to him. He saw something different in Paul and said, "I want that. I want that." That's what our lives should be. It brings glory and praise to God. Psalms 115, 1. Psalms 115, 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. You know, so often I hear, you know, we say to my sister-in-law and we say, you know, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you, thank you. And she says, oh, no, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes people think, oh, that's a little bit over the top. Oh, yeah, it should be, because God is good. God is good. God is good. There's not one thing that we can do that can measure up to what God does in us and through us. God is good. To him be the glory. Let's also go look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to start at verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. In other words, God supplies everything that we need. He supplies everything that we need. We only need to live it out. We only need to obey what he says do. And this causes other people to give glory to God. Because God uses us when we are obedient to his word to bless others, causing them to give glory and honor to God. See, it is a master plan that God has. He doesn't need our works. He needs us to be obedient to His work. He needs us to be His hands, His feet. He needs us to speak life and love and liberty to people. He just wants our hearts to be pure, that He can use us as His instrument. If we are an instrument, but we are not following after Him, following His commandments, we're an instrument, but not for God. The Lord woke me up in the wee hours of the morning on Saturday morning. And this sounds like a little bit different, but it is all part of the same thing. And He showed me something. Let's go look at Matthew chapter 6. Starting at verse 9. Verse 9, pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oftentimes when we read that scripture and we think about deliver us from evil, we want God to take us out of our situation. God, this is painful. Take me out of it. I don't want to be here. God, this is hard. Deliver me from this situation. Oftentimes we pray that for our kids. We don't want to see our kids suffer. And so we ask, God, get rid of the problem. Get rid of the problem. But what God showed me, He spoke Psalms 23, verse 4. Let's look at that real quick. Psalms 23, verse 4. And it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So after He spoke to me, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, He then spoke this verse, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. He is not out of his situation. He's in the midst of it. He's in the midst of it. But he doesn't fear evil because God is with him. Immediately, I knew what God was saying. Again, many times we pray and ask God to deliver us from a situation in our lives. We do not want to suffer, and we ask to be removed from that circumstance. Even Jesus Christ himself asked our beloved Father in Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. He knows. He knows what we go through. Often, that is our only understanding of deliver us from evil. But if we did not go through hardships, we would not see the delivering and victorious hand of God in our lives. Psalms 23:4 clearly says that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And that means we will face evil in our lives. But God is with us. We need to understand that evil doesn't only exist in attack from the outside, but as Pastor Adman said again this morning, it attacks our thoughts. It attacks our hearts. It attacks our mind. Let's actually go to Luke 22, 41. We're almost finished. Luke 22:41. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. He was in distress. This was no easy. God, if this is, you know, could you take it away? But nevertheless, he was in distress. How many times have you prayed? I have. In just not to this level. I haven't sweat like drops, but I have cried out to the Lord. Lord, if you would deliver us from this, deliver us from this. But the hard part, nevertheless, it'll be done. Jesus came as our example. Why is this important? Because oftentimes when we are in great distress in our situation, we don't want to live for this anymore. And we get angry with God. And we feel like he has abandoned us or left us. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the enemy. And it's also why it's so important. Something else that Pastor Adman talks about, the lesson that he learned, is that when Jesus was hanging on that cross, God did not turn his back on him. He doesn't turn his back on us when we are in distress. There was a message in why he cried out and said, why have, what is the phrase he says?
Eli, Eli, my God, why have you forsaken?
There's a message in there, but it is not a message that Christ turned his back. I mean, that God turned his back. He doesn't. He is with us in our most distressful times. So in those times of great testing is the time we have to cling to this word all the more and live for him. Because his word tells us if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. But if we go off angry and on our own, it profits us nothing. Knowing full well what he was about to go through, because he was God. Jesus prayed a high priestly prayer on our behalf. Let's go look at John 17, and I'm just going to read verse 15. John 17, 15. And this is Jesus praying, and he said, I do not ask you, the Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Jesus never asked the Father to deliver us out of our situation, our, what we have to face, but to protect us in the midst of that. Is that not what happened in the fiery furnace? Is that not what happened in the lion's den with Daniel? It happens in our lives. It happens in our lives. See, Satan has to ask permission to do anything. And God allows it because there are things, all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's a hard one. It's a hard cup. It's a difficult cut. But God's got a plan. He's got a plan. So, when we begin to ask him to deliver us from the evil inside of our hearts, So we need to. I don't think I wrote that right. So we need to begin to ask him to deliver us from the evil in our heart, the unrighteous anger, the rebellion when we're faced with things we don't want to deal with, the paralyzing fear, the half-hearted service to him. And we need to ask him to strengthen us and to teach us to walk upright and holy in the face of our greatest hardships. In the face of things that don't seem fair. We need to ask him to teach us to continue to walk according to his word, even when it gets really difficult. This is what it means to always abound in the work of the Lord. It means to not just be engaged, but to be highly productive, to excel, to be diligent, to always have a willing heart, to not shrink back, but to always be willing to obey God's word, to do the work of the Lord wholeheartedly, no matter what. I often come to the end of the sermon and I'm like, okay, Lord, what next? But I'm going to say, you know, Chris and I are facing some really difficult things, and God is good, though. God is so good. And in the midst of all of it, and he still has a couple of procedures that need to be done, he has been cleared for a transplant.
Amen.
God is so good. But it's hard. It's really difficult. Where we are right now. Oh, you're so sweet. God spoke to my heart and said, this will not end in death. And I have clung to just physical, but I have watched my husband go through some things, and he didn't even know I'm going to share this, so I hope you forgive me if I'm saying something I shouldn't. And my prayer is, Lord, don't let him have go through a spiritual death either, because this has been hard. And it's easy for the enemy to come and say, you said again this morning, to accuse our God against us. But I'm here to tell you, Saint, he has already put in place everything we need to stand in him. See, if our house is built upon the rock, we will stand. But if it's built on anything else, our health, our finances, anything else, we're going to fall. So my plea to everybody today, take this so seriously because this is a matter of life. This is life. And if anybody else has struggled with standing and living for God or has not taken this word to heart, see, sometimes even as teachers, we learn it to teach it, but we may never eat it for ourselves. Eat it for yourself. Take it for yourself. Because we can't stand in the face of God and say, I taught your word. I taught in your synagogues. I don't know you because you never ate it for yourself. Eat it for yourself. If anybody needs prayer today, because they know that you know that your heart has not been wholehearted in living for Christ, or you know that your situations have been so difficult and you've been angry with God, or you feel like God has walked away or turned his back on you, we would love to pray with you today that God would strengthen you in every area of your life and speak deeply to you and that you know how much you are loved.
Okay. I'm going to pray with you. I think the pastors have this commitment with the Lord. We have to eat for ourselves because our commitment is we don't stop the gospel. Mm. Every time there's a Bible study or there's a sermon, we're not selling. And for that reason, you have nothing to buy. But what we are committed is that we need to walk for ourselves, eat for ourselves. And today, would you come without money? Because that's what the Bible says, you can't buy it with your money. In fact, several weeks ago, I was talking about we are so trained to be a buyer, a consumer. We even look at the Word of God like we went to primary and think of something to make a decision to buy. Today, we come together as a body of Christ and realize if there's any way that the enemy has become large in your thought, where you are doubting God, where your interest about God is not there, even though He loves you, and that He has laid out the foundation of His promises, but yet we doubt Him. We say, we'll see about that. But maybe you are going through a lot, and you see the abandonment. And last Friday, the guys, we got together a little bit, and we talked about resentment, how that is one of the powerful weapons the enemy uses. And with a little bit of resentment, it can cause separation from our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And with each other. It can start anywhere if we don't learn how to deal with it. And so this morning, and I'm quite sure we all have faced with resentment in some form or another, with God, with each other, with our family, with our community, yeah, even with governments, where we have no dealing with and we got involved with it. You know, I'm sure you heard about Thanksgiving dinner, people argue in families because of politics. People argue because of religion, beliefs. And then when you take a step back today, just listening to the Word of God today, what is the work of the Lord? Are we there to defend so that our pride is intact, so that we are right? Are we there to, truly, Lord, for me to live is to Christ? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I struggle to pray because I can't come up on paper.
And I think about it a lot. I think about people who had the chance to know Christ with me. And they just disappeared off that opportunity. It says, Pastor Michelle has said, sometimes we're so quick to say, God, we got this. We got this. And therefore, may we spend every opportunity to see the power of God in this generation. And even in the old. So God, we pray, preach your spirit, as you continue to convict us of things. We don't want to submit to you. There's nothing to bind you. We just submit to you. As we repent, Father, restore us. This is our solution. Yes, Lord, we want the opportunity to step out of our own. I want that peace that they have almost that whatever our fleshly weaknesses are, amen. But yet, we're thanking you for being here. Thank you for continuing to love us in our imperfection. Thank you, Lord, that you see to it that we will come out. But no matter what difficult things we face, there's a victory of Jesus Christ in all of us. So, Lord, we thank you for the time. Thank you, Lord, for what is coming up. We thank you for all the different things that always reminds us that you are why we live.
Yeah.
You are why we love.
Yeah.
You are why we are humble.
Yeah.
So Lord, we pray. If there's anyone today, it's not about you just coming out to the middle praying on that. I sure hope, and we sure hope that you know God is speaking to you. Father, thank you for Psalm 23.
Yeah.
Knowing that we're not less today in the valley of the shadow. Thank you, Lord, that even those who have been faithfully brought to you, thank you for still seeing that, Lord, as maturity and deeper relationship that we can have.
Yeah.
There will be no pride in thinking we know it all. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. Father, we pray for healing. We pray for restoration. Wherever there is the accuser that have corrupted our mountain, Father, we pray that your spirit of truth and the love and the mercy and the grace of God liberate us from all those things. That we learn to love one another. Learn to love you the way you love us. Father, we honor you. Lord, lift up words of freedom and grace in this body of Christ. Father, melt away our stubbornness. If there's any stubbornness, let there be persistence of me. Let there be persistence for me to live is Christ. God, bring healing in this place. Bring hope and courage. Yes.
To me, God, I breathe your name. God, I breathe your
Father God, that truly we would not struggle with ourselves anymore, but God, we would truly rest in you. Because you say, oh, with Isaiah 30:15. Let me look, I'm sorry. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Teach us to be quiet in you, O God. That, Father, truly we would cease striving and know that you are God. That we would simply walk according to your word. And we would hear that still, soft voice in our ears. This is the way. Walking in. Father, we praise you and we love you this morning because you have given us everything we need. Everything we need. And Lord, as we go forth from this moment throughout this week, let it be Jesus. For Lord, for us to live. It's Christ. We praise you, we thank you. In your precious and holy name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rochelle. Thank you, Lord Jesus.